What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, October 17th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, Gary Whitta.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Whitta Wednesday to you, sir. Happy.
What's the applause? I don't usually get applause. What's that about?
They're in a good run right now. We had a lot of guest hosts in. So guest hosts get the applause.
Right.
And then the fact that, you know, Gary Whitta is gracing us with his presence.
I don't even really consider myself a guest
host.
I would not consider myself a guest host.
You are a paid full-blown
co-host.
One
of the family.
That's 100% correct. I'm just saying they don't want the streak to end of being good about clapping.
Oh,
that's
I see.
All it is.
You know, who do you have on this morning?
Yesterday Alex Rubens was on with Andrea.
Right. I was just looking at his book. It looks like a really interesting book about Missile Command.
Yeah. You got a book coming up.
Next week.
Yeah. That's why. And you're not going to be here to
not
promote
announced
it.
Yet, but I'll be when
I
come
say
back.
Don't say anything. We won't
when
say
I come back, we're going to pimp it.
Okay,
what's
good.
What's the book?
That's what he says, not announced
like
yet.
Like I just said, not announced yet.
You got to follow Gary Whitta on
Twitter.
Does
he listen to anything that we say?
No, I was trying to trick you to tell us.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
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 I do that thing with my kid now. I say, what's that?
Yeah, you get them.
She doesn't fall for it anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think Kevin might.
Have you seen the one of the kid? They take the kid to the barbershop or like somebody's. Maybe it's a friend who's doing the barbering or whatever.
What?
But they have all this fake blood that they squeeze out and then they hand it around a fake ear, like they cut off the kid's ear.
That's horrible.
It is horrible. It's horrible. I was. You know, me and General occasionally talk about that. I'm going to obviously scar our children. But
hell
it's going.
Yeah.
You're going to obviously scar children.
Our children, Jen and I's
children. Your children.
We
you're
have kids.
Scar
I'm
going
to emotionally scar them, right, with all my stupid pranks and dressing as Jason and convincing them the house is haunted, so we got to dress up as Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That it's going to get to a point that they will be in school and like the fire alarm's going off and like smoke's coming in and everybody's running around and my kids gonna be like, I'm not falling for it.
Yeah.
It's dad. It's clearly dad and his best friend Poe being stupid right now.
You're gonna boy you cry wolf them to death.
Exactly.
In a fiery inferno.
But what a way to go.
I mean, if you're going to go, you got to go somewhere,
from
right?
the neglect of your parents.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little bit more. And everything else under the video game sun. If you like that, that's great. You can watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today, patreon.com/kindoffunnygamesfanmail is these notes. That's right, all month long of October, if you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, support us at the fan mail tier, you will get the notes I have been saving from these very shows and Gamescast where I write on them, do doodles and all that
jazz.
That's
the fan incentive, is the notes from the show.
Exactly.
Are you running
it
out
was
stuff,
actually, I
running
signed
out
up,
stuff
I
to give
them
away?
Too. No, this is a good idea. It's a good idea.
Because it feels like a piece of the show.
Exactly.
Do you want me to sign them?
No, nah. You just kind of poo-pooed it. You don't get to do nothing for it. You know
well,
what I mean?
I'm trying to give it some value.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna miss you next week, Gary. When you're
you
not
will,
here,
you will. You will. You might. You might not. But the audience will.
Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Oh, I know. And then today we're brought to you by Hims, MeUndies, and Loot Crate. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be. The Roper Report. Time for some news! Two items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
And if I'm lying, I'm dying. We're stretching. Number one! Hitman!
Is this the fewest items we've ever had? Two
it's,
items?
It's up there. I don't know if we've ever had a one.
I've come in on some slow news days, but this one might take the biscuit.
It's the normal thing where, or not the normal thing, but it's one of those things where, all right, it's a slow news day, but the questions are good. We want to have good discussions.
Okay,
that,
right, good.
That's what you're
still
here
be
for.
A good show.
Exactly. Oh, all don't right. worry about that. Gary, how could it go wrong?
You know me. You know us, Greg. We can spin silk out of any old pig shit.
Well, here you go. Number one, Hitman 2 is going to kill Sean Bean. This is via official statement and release from them.
I saw this trailer yesterday.
Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and IO Interactive today announced that international actor Sean Bean will star as the first elusive target mission for the Hitman 2 video game. Bean will take on the role of Mark Faba, a former MI5 agent turned freelance assassin, notoriously known as the Undying. Faba's reputation as a master of faking his own death is second to none, ultimately causing the International Contract Agency to put an imposing bounty on his head. Quote, I'm thrilled to be part of the upcoming Hitman 2 video game, said Bean. It's always exciting to take on a new role, and I'm looking forward to everyone seeing my character in action when the mission launches.
So
You're part of the Hollywood machine. You know what I mean? You're big Hollywood.
I am.
Did
I'm
Sean
part of
Bean
the
really say this, or does this publicist
write
it?
I was just about to say
it,
to you, can't you just, because we all know what Sean Bean sounds like.
Yeah.
His accent.
Yeah.
Can't you just imagine the words, I'm thrilled to be a part of the upcoming Hitman 2 video game coming out of his mouth?
Totally, right?
Sounds totally natural.
It's always exciting to take on a new role, and I'm looking forward to everyone seeing my character in action when the mission launches.
That's one of those things where they've written it, and he said fine.
Sure,
fine. Yeah. Or his people have okayed it.
Now, I think it's interesting Sean Bean's coming over, sure. It's a very cute tongue-in-cheek thing that he gets killed in every movie
and
show
he's in.
That's
the meta nature of the joke, right?
So that's the character they've
done.
Sean
Bean is known, for people that might not know the meta.
Yeah.
Sean Bean has garnered for himself, whether deliberately or not, a reputation for playing characters who die.
Yeah.
If Sean Bean shows up in a movie or a TV show, there's a good chance he's going to croak.
Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings.
Game of Thrones being the most famous example.
Sure. Yeah. So I like that they poke fun of it. I like that the character he's playing is this guy who's like faking his own death and the undying. But what's really neat about it is the trailer. They put out a live action trailer of him being interviewed by a therapist, right? And the character being interviewed. And
he's in character in the trailer.
Yeah, it's really well done and really well acted. And I was watching it like expecting for the eye roll of like, how do they, you know, pigeonhole in this Hollywood star, this movie star to do it. And you're like, oh man, actually this is really well done. And it's cool to see like, as usual, IO and Hitman doing something interesting with elusive targets. And hey, we're going to come in and we're going to play with this and throw it around.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. It makes sense. I like Sean Bean, who doesn't, you know, very always watchable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this might be his first video game, isn't it?
Oh, I couldn't say. I'm not big enough on that.
I'm not quite sure what international actor means. What does that mean? Does that mean you've
been an international actor?
Does that mean you've been to more than one country to do your acting?
Yeah.
Or that your movies play in more than one country? Or that you have international appeal?
It strikes me as one of those things that might have been like, you know, international movie star. And like, well, he's done something other than movies. Well, he's an actor then.
Movie star sounds right. International actor doesn't quite
When you start editing a tweet, you know, and then you like change it and you like reread it and you publish it and you see like something from the first revision you had in there hanging in there that no longer makes sense because of the way you restructured it.
Yeah.
But it got through.
Well, I like Sean Bean. I like Hitman, Peanut Butter and Jelly.
Did you play the first episode of when it went into the episodic format.
So I'm looking forward to this. This will be good.
Yeah. I played it enough at demos and liked Hitman, but never did the full deal when it came out. And I always thought it was cool. So maybe when this one drops, Hitman 2, all at once, it'll be more appealing to jump into.
Do you think you will actually be able to kill Sean Bean in the game?
That's the objective. He's the undying, can he? And since he fakes his own death, he'll be able
to get away with it if you really got him.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
I like it. Very clever.
Number two, Loot Crate has announced an indie game subscription. This is from Matthew. Hand Rahan over at gamesindustry.biz. But before I read the story, I do need to point out for disclosure, Loot Crate is sponsoring this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. They've been sponsoring all week. So they're in the news today. That's not why I picked the story, obviously. Hey, a new indie platform and stuff. But with a grain of salt, but this is not part of the sponsorship at all that I'll read when we get to reader mail. But I want you to know everything. Matthew from gamesindustry.biz writes, the subscription commerce platform Loot Crate is introducing a subscription service focused on independent PC games. Loot Play, the first digital subscription service from Loot Crate, will start at $10 a month, for which subscribers will receive a curated selection of indie PC games. These digital crates will contain one featured game, which will be prominent in the marketing for that month on platforms such as Twitch, Mixer, and Loot Crate's own The Daily Crate. The other four titles will be a secret until launch day, in keeping with the mysterious nature of the contents of the company's physical crates. Quote, we want to solve two problems with Loot Play, said Loot Crate's Eric Reynolds in a statement. We want to help subscribers find new games that are curated with a focus on creative new voices, and we want to help these independent studios reach new audiences through our large network of looters. I did not realize Loot Crate users were called looters.
Looters.
That seems loaded.
All right.
So there you have it. That's happening. Thoughts, Gary?
Look, I love indie. I love indie games. I know you don't really care about games on the PC.
Sure,
but that is really the thriving. Most indie games, the popular ones end up on Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, but they mostly are born on PC.
Mm-hmm.
PC is really the
100%
the incubator.
Yeah,
And so anything that gets more indie games exposure and helps indie game creators, I'm for it.
100%.
So I'm for this.
No, you nail it. And I think that's the thing. I do worry about how many platforms can there be. And like, you know, exclusives and all that stuff gets so weird, right? Because now you have Discord doing Discord firsts on their store. You have, of course, Humble Bundle when they'll bundle stuff up. You right. have now Loot Play doing it as well. But it speaks to your point of, you know, independent developers are doing some of the most interesting stuff in video games.
Absolutely.
And I know how flooded that market is, and I know how hard it is for them to get a foothold and find a voice. It's one of the reasons we're doing the Kinda Funny Games Showcase in December.
Well, they do make a good point about curation, because yep. part of the problem of being an indie game developer is it's very sink or swim, and you can create a great game. There are dozens of great games out there right now on Steam, which will never really
Nobody's
find
playing.
An audience, because what you know, Steam is such a vast ocean of games, and so many games are being launched on Steam every day that it's very, you know, I believe in the general principle that the cream always floats to the top, like the good stuff will
sure.
find an audience.
Sure.
But that's not always true. Good stuff can get lost in the shuffle because there's just so much of it. And I personally, as much as I love Steam, don't think it does a particularly good job of curation.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that can help curate these titles, it's kind of like a wine club. You know, we send you yeah. some nice wines or Jelly of the Month Club, Beer of the Month Club. We send you like, well, our experts will curate things that we think you'll like and that we've picked out as worthwhile, worth your time, yeah. worth your money. And we'll send them to you so you can find some good stuff. So I think it's like that. And I'm all for it. I hope that if it's successful, it won't just stay on PC, but they'll start doing these crates for the console formats as well.
You bring up curation. I think that's an interesting angle on this thing, right? In kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, or if you know it or anybody in the room knows it. I'd be interested if somebody was doing this kind of thing, but more in the way of a Stitch Fix or a Trunk Club, where it's not, hey, you're signing up for a blind box, you're going to get stuff, and if you like it, you like it kind of thing. What if there was a curated thing of, you go in there and you start your profile, and it's like, I like RPGs,
oh,
I like
okay.
real-time strategy
so
games, and I like this. What my three favorite games are these, three games I hate are this, three
right.
genres I hate are this.
Right.
And then you have a consultant that is like, all right, cool, for you, we're recommending these games this month. You can swap them.
So picking out games that fit, because you know, they obviously have to go off and make deals with all
of
these game
makers.
Of
course, yeah, hard.
So it's probably that would be a little bit more involved than just picking
100%.
A tie off
I
of
agree
a rack.
With that. Yeah, 100%.
You know, so Greg says his favorite color is green. We'll send him a green tie.
Yeah.
Fairly easy to do.
Yeah.
I think with games that would be trickier to do, but I really like the idea behind
There's
it.
There's something there. It's
yeah.
difficult. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe even if you moved it to the Blue Apron method, right?
Yeah.
Where it would be that, hey, every month you have these nine games to pick from, right? But you only pick three. You
right.
know, it's similar when I go and I pick my recipes or whatever.
I mean, you could, yeah, because you could send me a great, you could send me like Dead Cells.
Yeah.
But if I just don't like that kind of game, doesn't matter how good it is.
Exactly,
it's not
yeah.
my cup of tea.
And that's the thing with like the Humble Bundles, I think, and you know, when you want to jump in on those kind of platforms, that is that wrestling of like, well, it's cheap to get the games that way, but how many times am I getting something that I just wouldn't play normally?
Well, that's the problem with a lot of these curated services is that, you know, it's because it is one size fits all. You don't all, there's a certain amount of stuff that you're just going to go and just throw it in the trash right away.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually like one or two things. Oh, great. Like everyone likes that. But yeah, I mean, like think about the physical loot crates. They could do that there as well. Do you like pins? Do you like
yeah.
t-shirts?
And yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
so like, I don't like pins, so don't send me pins. Send me something I do like. They could. There's a reason why they probably don't do that, at least not yet, because again, that would make that would just add so much, an order of magnitude of like difficulty in terms of logistics and inventory and things
yeah,
like that.
Because I think every loot crate is, this is what it is,
it's
right?
It's everyone gets the
yeah,
same
yeah.
box. You can tell because right after a loot crate comes out, you see
t-shirts.
People walking around with the same
t-shirts.
T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you go to a PAX or something, a PSX,
oh,
you see a lot of loot crate shirts.
Which everybody knows.
Again, yeah. And they didn't pay me to say it. It's a service that people enjoy and get cool stuff from.
I like your idea. I think trying to find a way to make it more bespoke would only benefit this
yeah.
enterprise. For right now, though, I like, again, anything that can put the spotlight on indie games, I'm all for. So bravo, Loot Crate.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. No, you're 100% correct.
So I'm glad that even though we only had two news stories, they've both been positive ones.
Oh yeah.
I hate it when we come in here and we talk about grim stories and horror, like studio closures
yeah.
and developer crunch burnout, and you know, obviously it's important that we cover those stories.
Sure.
But it's depressing. I like it when we just have a positive news day. Well, Sean Bean and indie games are easier ways to get indie games. It's a positive news day, and I'm thankful for that.
Well, you walked right into it. Your first reader mail question is all about Crunch, because that's been the conversation of the week. But for now, Gary, reader mail so far away. If I wanted a segment more on top of us, like, say, what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, the Jackbox Party Pack number 5 on Xbox One.
I love Jackbox.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I love it. Do you know what's in this one?
I don't. Kevin, Okay. Can I please get Jackbox Party Pack 5 list of games pulled up? It's on Xbox One.
Let's get some deets.
PC and
Switch. Are there any new
today?
Games?
They there usually has, add, to, be. They there usually has to be a new
game. Each Jackbox, they usually introduce a new element, right?
They have to keep it fresh. Yeah. Pipe is on PlayStation 4 pipe. If you want to lay some pipe tonight. Resonance of Fate 4K/HD
edition. Is laying pipe shitting or having sex?
That's having sex.
It is?
Yeah.
Because it could also be shitting.
It does
though.
Sound like shitting. Yeah. I'm going to go lay a pipe. Yeah.
Like, you definitely don't want to get those two things mixed up. Unless that is your thing.
No kink shame.
Who knows?
No kink shame.
I don't make
here.
No judgments.
All right. Kevin has brought up You Don't Know Jack 5 on jackboxgames.com. Do you have a list of games yet, Kev?
No.
Keep looking for that then. Then Resonance of Fate 4K/HD edition on PC. Terraforming Mars on PC.
There you go. Jackbox, here are all 5 announced games. Okay, let's look.
We're going to read from apptrigger.com.
Yeah, thanks,
where
App
Daniel
Trigger.
George wrote 2 months ago about the 5 games that are coming here.
All right, so you get something called Zeeple Dome. Oh, wait, here are the 5 games. You Don't Know Jack. Great. Here's the thing. I'd say this about Jackbox. You Don't Know Jack should always be in there. That should be the
cornerstone. Which one's that? I forget.
It's the trivia.
I can never keep up with they put it.
You Don't Know Jack is where it all started, Greg. That's how the whole Jack business began.
Yeah.
The whole Jack empire.
Sure, the Jack empire.
Started with You Don't Know Jack. That's why it's called the Jackbox, because it's You Don't Know Jack. Mm-hmm. I used to love You Don't Know Jack back in the day. So Cookie Masterson is back. Awesome. I think I might have to get this. And then it looks like 4 new games split the room. Up to 8 players are competing against each other to provide a fill-in-the-blank hypothetical that will be the most divisive in yes-no answers. Mad vs. City. Up to 8 players are split into rap battles.
Whoa.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not going to do that one. If it has a performance aspect, that's not for me.
With another player and are provided partial rhyming prompts. You need to turn them into a rap stanza.
They're delivered by robots with speak and spell neutrality, reading the words you input as you input them. Okay. And then patently stupid, each up to 8 players must create their own invention. Fill in the blank on 2 statements, both of which will be provided to other players in the first step market research. All right. And then Zeeple Dome. I'm not quite sure what Zeeple Dome is.
Described above. Kev, can you scroll back up top, please?
Sounds like Zeeple Dome might be the flagship title here.
Zeeple Dome will cap off the Jackbox. It's an action game, where you fling your characters around with slingshot physics, using portals and knocking down foes while you accumulate points. It employs a horde mode, or horde-like rush mode, where you last as long as you can.
All right. Well, I'm always happy just for a new You Don't Know Jack. You should do this on Party Mode sometime.
We do the Party
Mode. If you do Jackbox and Party Mode, have me on, because I would love to be a part of it.
Okay,
I'll do it.
I mean, you're so busy; it's so hard to get you, though. You don't ask, Greg. Well, I mean,
you gotta ask me. I don't just show up randomly. You guys doing anything?
Actually, you do. There was
me.
One day where
that
you
has
did.
Happened. That has happened once, but yeah. I did.
You wanted LaCroix,
and that was just for some LaCroix. Yeah, that's right.
You know, Gary.
What?
While you're talking about these here party games,
yes.
I thought I'd get Saucy Biscuit involved.
Okay.
What's up, Greg and Gary? Could we just for a moment take a pivot? From Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
No.
And by pivot, I mean take a sharp turn into a ditch and talk about the other October 5th game, Super Mario Party. My family and I have been loving Super Mario Party, and I enjoyed hearing you all talk about it in the last Gamescast.
Mm.
But I just wanted to hear your thoughts on a few things, .. Are you playing Super Mario Party? It seems like this would be a hit at your house.
No, I looked at it, and I might get it.
You have to get it. Why? You like party games.
I do, but the Super Mario Party games have never really done it for me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Why? Just the randomness of it? They have to be mean to each other?
They're just all a bit... I don't like... One of the things I've never really liked about the party games is the...
Starting to waggle your hands.
The waggle.
Yeah.
I don't like the Joy... You know, and especially with the Joy-Cons now, it seems like they really doubled down on the waggle.
Well, they got that HD rumble, you know?
Well, there was a little tricycle racing game where they had you going like that. I don't want to be doing that. I don't want to move.
Fair.
I want to be as sedentary as possible.
I understand that. Okay.
I don't want to physically have to move.
Yeah.
I mean, is that so?
No. The amount of times I'm like, man, I'd like to play this. I don't want to put on the VR headset right now. I don't want to move my head around.
When Wii Sports first came out, I made fun of Jeff Gerstmann and the Giant Bomb guys for playing it sitting down. Sure. Now I totally get it. As you get older, I totally get it.
Well, yeah, Wii Sports came out, everybody's like, oh my God, it's so realistic. And then it was like, no, we can just sit here and very lightly move the controller, and you're doing more than you were ever doing standing up. But you thought you were doing more.
Anyways, it is more fun to move around.
Saucy Biscuit.
For other people.
Sure, just not for us.
Not for me.
We sweat too much. Saucy Biscuit continues. In this age of games as a service, could we see paid DLC for this game over the course of a couple years? Or maybe just frequent updates featuring new boards and modes rather than a whole new game immediately? Until recently, Mario Party games were released almost annually. If this is the case, could we see in-game events like we do in popular online games? For example, Halloween is coming up soon. Could we see Mario and company wearing spooky costumes and the boards themselves be decorated? Personally, I wouldn't mind buying small expansions that feature another couple of boards, a handful of new minigames, and maybe even a character or two to keep me busy while I wait for an excellent version of Super Mario Party 2 that doesn't feel like another game thrown into the series.
So his question is, will there be Super Mario Party DLC?
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, would it be like this?
Who knows?
Well, here's the answer, I think, is that yes, I think there will be Super... Well, it's based on sales a little bit. Yes, I think there'll be Super Mario Party DLC at some point.
Has there been in the past?
No, but... kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm not briefed at all on the Wii U Mario parties. And then beyond that, Nintendo didn't understand online. They were using tin cans to talk to each other in the office.
But they are pretty good with DLC these days.
Right. But here's the thing, is what you're talking about, Saucy Biscuit, in terms of a games as a service, here's a Halloween event, here's a new board, here's a... That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And no, they are not built for that. They are not going to treat it that way. A games as a service Mario
they
Party
do it with
would
Splatoon.
Be super interesting. Yeah,
Splatoon,
but I mean, that was like
a Halloween
big
event.
Deal about Splatoon, right? Like,
do you think that the Mario Party games are kind of like... Do you think... I get the impression that that's one of those franchises that Nintendo puts them out every year, but they don't really take them that seriously. They're just like, that's like another thing that they do. But it's not like a core... part of their
I don't
offering.
Think it's not one of their gems by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
Is Tim still here?
Yeah.
Tim! We're getting deep in Nintendo, Tim!
We need a Nintendo expert.
I don't think it's one of their... It's definitely not one of their crown jewels. It's not their Zelda or Mario, but I don't think they phone them in necessarily, and I think this is a return to form based on feedback of what people want and what they want. We're talking about Mario Party.
Nintendo, come over here.
Ah, look at that. He got you. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We just talked about Super Mario Party.
You're on camera. We added a camera while you're gone. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
You're really close to it.
You want to lean back? Grab the mic and lean backwards.
No, get even closer. No, as close as possible.
Look at him get right in there.
I love it, dude.
Number one, does Nintendo take Mario Party seriously, or is this something they phone in?
They phoned it in for many years.
But not anymore, right?
Because it seems like they launched without much fanfare. This new one came, and I honestly had forgotten that it came out just a couple of weeks ago.
It's fine.
Yeah, like last week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. October 5th.
It's going to be a slow burn. It's an evergreen title. They know that. Yeah, I think it's the type of thing that they're going to ramp up promotion for during the holidays.
Do you care about them?
I do. Very
you
much
do?
So.
You enjoy them?
Yeah.
You like this
one,
new one?
Good step, but not the best.
Saucy Biscuit is the reason of this genesis of this question, right? DLC for this. Is there going to be DLC for Mario Party? And then I say there will be DLC, but not to what... Saucy Biscuit put out a very compelling pitch to make Mario Party basically a games as a service.
And it'll be amazing.
There's a Halloween event. There's the Thanksgiving event. The boards change. There's this character.
Well, they could add a new game. I mean, there's so many little games, right?
That would be really good. I just don't...
It's not going to happen.
I feel like this isn't the foundation for that. I wish it was.
But Nintendo has established a trend now where they're actually quite good about DLC. Zelda, Mario, Splatoon, all these games have seen...
Mario Kart.
I've all seen DLC.
See, but they're not always great, though. Like, the Zelda DLC was, I think, a little bit too spread out and ended up being non-essential.
Right.
And then Mario Odyssey, where is the DLC? Yeah, we got
the balloons
thing, but, like, that's not what anyone wanted.
Yeah. But Splatfest and Splatoween and things like that are pretty cool.
Splatoon did a great job with Mario Kart. They did a great job with, but that was Wii U. There was no DLC on Switch.
It's packaged all together for deluxe.
It's just, like, little random patch updates and stuff and, like, Labo support, but, like...
Wait, they added, like, 200cc and some other stuff in the DLC, didn't
they? That was for Wii U.
Oh, right.
That was Mario Kart 8.
Oh, no, so when
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe had everything.
You already got all that stuff. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
So the only DLC...
But count that as, like, because that is they learned on Wii U how to do DLC.
That was in 2013.
Hey, man, Nintendo's a slow-moving company, and they didn't have that many games on Wii U.
200cc is real fast, Greg.
That's true.
What are the games worth playing on Super Mario Party? Are there any, like, standout events in the new Mario Party? Yeah.
They're all great. I think that they made a really good call, even though it upset people, about having it be Joy-Con exclusive, where you can only play with
Joy-Con. So you have to do this?
You have to do the waggles.
One Joy-Con.
One Joy-Con.
Yeah, everyone gets to play with one Joy-Con.
And
which
are you using your thumb, or is it just throwing the Joy-Con
every
around?
Every game's different.
Like, okay.
But I feel like that allows consistency, where they're able to focus on the quality of the minigames because everyone was playing with the same controllers, right?
But that also means that you got to go out and get more Joy-Cons if you want to play with more than just two people.
Like, well, if you
I only have two Joy-Cons. I have more Pro Controllers because I like the Pro Controller.
You don't have another set of Joy-Cons?
No, because I don't use them that much. Mm. Maybe I should get them, though.
Yeah, but your friend has a Switch. They buy more controllers.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And it supports up to what? 8 Joy-Cons?
4.
Four.
It's a 4-player game.
It's a 4-player game.
Okay.
Wish it was more. That's another thing. But then the minigames get a little crazy. I don't know.
Thank All you, right.
Super Mario Party feels a little underbaked to me. I'm a little...
You wanted more.
I wanted more. It's good.
What more
it's
did you best. Want? What did you want in the way
boards,
of more?
More just kind of a promise of DLC, a promise of, hey, this is a platform that we're going to just keep adding to over
it reminds
the years.
Me more of, it reminds me of how Mario Tennis is. Where it's like, okay, I could have gone for a lot more here, this, that, or like, there's, like, I there think was, there's obvious
there, and again,
things
there was
there.
Some DLC for Mario Tennis already. They added some new stuff already, new game modes. So okay. I do think Nintendo seems to be more down with the DLC.
I hope.
They're down with the sickness, too.
They are down with the sickness.
Ooh.
All right, bye.
New dates for you. Daru, The Art of Cooperation, is ready to bend minds on November 7th on PC and Nintendo Switch. Worth pointing out that Kotaku, of course, who I steal all my out today dates from, had this listed as being out today, but I got a press release saying, actually, it's November 7th, so there you go. Gary, this one's for you.
Yeah.
Snooker 19, the first official snooker game in a generation, comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch in 2019.
Now, I'm going
to
take an opportunity to correct you here.
Please.
It's actually pronounced snooker.
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 No, snooker.
Americans like, Americans like to say game, right? Snooker. Snooker.
Snooker.
Snooker.
Like a new in there. Snooker.
It's a long double O.
Snooker.
Snooker. Well, yeah, not that long, but snooker.
Snooker.
Snooker. Snooker. Snooker. I know Americans snooker. Like to say snooker.
Yeah.
It's snooker.
Because we think of Tom Nook, of course.
Yeah, it's not that kind of double O.
Okay.
It's the, like you would say, loose snooker.
Snooker.
Just remember it's two O's.
New, got it.
Yeah.
What the hell, and this is some kind of pool?
So snooker is basically pool for grown-ups. It's a bigger table, way bigger. It's okay. Probably twice the size of a pool table.
Okay.
The pockets and the jaws are much smaller and narrower, so it's harder to make a shot. The balls don't just roll into these giant, oversized... There's a snooker table. So...
Look how many legs it has.
Well, it has to have that
it's
many because it's huge.
It's absurd.
It's a playing field.
If you're an audio listener, we're looking at a snooker table. It has 8 legs.
And there are particular rules and order in which you pot the ball. So you notice there are 15 reds.
Yeah.
15 reds. You've got the white cue ball. And then 6 colors. Yellow, green, brown, blue, pink, and black, which are worth 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, respectively.
Okay.
And the way that you score is you shoot a red, then you shoot a color, and the reds stay down, the colors come back up. So you shoot a red.
Okay.
Then you pick a color and shoot a color.
You have to call it.
Okay. Then you shoot another, but it doesn't matter if you... You can put it's not like pool where you have to say this is going in that corner.
Okay.
You can get a lucky shot and it's still good, as long as it goes in.
As long as I say, oh, I'm going for green next.
You don't have to say it, but it's obvious which one you're aiming for.
Okay.
So you go red. So a red is worth 1.
Okay.
Green's worth 2. And black's worth 7. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those are the 6 colors.
Okay.
And you get to keep shooting as long as you keep potting. So you go red color, red color, red color, red color, until all 15 reds are down. And then you shoot the colors in sequence. Yellow, green, brown, blue, pink, and black.
Jesus. Okay.
That sounds so complicated.
If you can do that, the maximum possible, what they call a break, like the number of points you score at during your visit at the table.
Sure.
If you shoot red, black, red, black, red, black, red, black, red, black, 15 times in a row, and then all the colors, 147. That's the highest you can do. And when you see a player, it's a very, very, very rare achievement to do that.
It's like bowling 300.
It'd be like the platinum, let me put it in your terms, the platinum trophy of snooker would be the 147 break. If you can do that, and I've seen professional players do it, it is one of the great... amazing things, achievements, feats to watch in all of sports. It's not very popular. It's popular all over the world, apart from in America for some reason.
Sure.
It's very popular in the Far East. Very, very popular in Europe. Snooker. It's a great game.
Okay.
And so I'm excited to see this coming. But the problem that I've had, and I think maybe, I don't know, maybe you can point me wrong here. Billiard type games.
Yeah.
They generally don't work very well on computers. It's hard
They're
to make them work.
Something. They miss that tactile feel, the chalk on your hands. You know what
yeah.
I mean? You got to be out there. You got to be, for snooker in particular, I think you need to be able to feel all these balls, and you know.
I want to feel the balls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm looking to see if they put out a trailer with Snooker 19.
Kevin, can you go?
The website is snooker19.com.
Is there a Snooker 19? The last really good one was called Jimmy White's Whirlwind Snooker, and that
does sound like a good one.
That was very popular.
Kevin,
but we rarely see them. Okay, but yeah, but like billiard type games, they're very, you know, you see pool games every now and again. They're very rare. Oh, here we are.
Yeah, see, I don't think they have a trailer or anything yet because they just announced it today.
Okay,
they just announced
It looks like it's coming to all of the major platforms.
Well, I just read that. Snooker 19 will be the first officially licensed game to be published across all current generation consoles as well as the.
It looks like they've got to deal with World Snooker.
Here, all right. World champion Sean Murphy had this to say: to be able to pick up and controller and God, did no one fucking no
Somebody
one,
proofread,
no one
these
proofread
things?
This? To be able to pick up and controller and play in the tournaments that make or break careers against anyone in the world will be an incredible experience, said former world champion Sean Murphy. I can't wait for the chance to try the game out. I'm sure it will make for a truly immersive experience.
There's a lot of like, obviously,
I'm sure fucking Sean
there's
Murphy.
There's a lot of like, obviously approved by the guy's representatives quotes on the show today.
What an experience this will shape up to be.
Yeah.
Moving on, The Witch's House MV scares its way on to Steam October 31st. Death Rack update coming October 30th to Terra consoles. Retro platformer Hacksaw Rocket jumps onto PC November 29th. And Dream Daddy Director's Cut. It's coming to PlayStation.
Now we were just talking about
October
Dream Daddy
30th. We were.
Before the show. This could be perfect for you because I think it's a fun game. No, it's a fun game, and but it was only on PC, so you wouldn't have got anywhere near it because I know how you have this famous aversion.
You forget, of course, that I have a famous aversion to PC gaming, but I cover this industry day in day out. Vernon Shaw came on to talk about this game, the guy who made it,
but you haven't played it.
Along with what's Butt James's real name? From his co-developer writer is at Buttchamps, and I know her very well through that. Leia? Oh man, I know it, I didn't play it, but it's also not really my type of game.
But it's on
visual novel.
But it has trophies.
Sure, but my problem is lots of endings to Dream Daddy. I already know that.
Why is it not
a lot
your,
of weird
why
stories?
Why is it not
stuff.
Your kind of game?
Visual novels, I need to be in a very specific mood for. It's kind of like I remember like Hatful Boyfriend, like when that was making the pigeon dating simulator.
Yeah, the thing with
like,
the pigeons.
Oh, this is fun, and I'll play. And it came to Vita. Even I popped down. I played for a while, and I was just like, you know,
you're
what?
You're not a
I
fan
need,
of those like Japanese drama more. type games where there's a lot of scrolling through text and stuff.
I want to say I'm not a. It takes a very particular one to get me in the door and get me to stick around.
But Dream Daddy has like a really fun central conceit.
No, sure. Like let's date cool dads. No, I get it. Like, I like that. And it's funny and it's interesting. And there's a subtext.
You could be a Dream Daddy.
Thank you. I'd like to think I am.
I could see you in the anime style.
Sure.
You got the beard.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking good lately.
Yeah. You know you're always well dressed.
Yeah. Well,
well groomed.
Yeah.
Got the glasses, you got a look going on. You would totally be a Dream Daddy.
Thank you very much. That means a lot to me that you'd say that. I do appreciate that. I hope one day.
I
know you are.
I'm being sincere as well. I'm more of a nightmare daddy. I'm not a hunky daddy.
You're very much, like we've talked about it before, you are very much in your sweatpants right now, angling.
Look, I've said before, you can't see under the table, so I'm going to be naked under here.
You are
angling
so hard
matter.
For Queer Eye Season 3.
I desperately need a Queer
you
Eye.
You want the Fab 5 coming
I
in.
I desperately need the Fab 5 to come in and fix me up. Yeah. Well, it's Fab 4 now.
Who left?
No, wait, no, it's five. It
Who's
was
dead?
Four. No, it was four.
Oh, yeah,
now
it's Fab
it's five.
Yeah, yeah, right. I got it right. Yeah, I know current Queer Eye. I don't remember.
I would be such a perfect Queer Eye candidate.
Yeah.
I should write in for it.
Well, somebody's got to nominate you.
But they only seem to film in Georgia.
Well, that's because they did two seasons back to back right there. They filmed it all at once.
They should
very
come to
smartly.
San Francisco.
They should.
Their spiritual home.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised for season three. I don't know if it's already been announced. If season three, I bet they go all over the place.
I think the first time around
was like, hey, we're kickstarting this and doing this budget.
Let's try this cheap because we don't know if it's going to be a hit.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's keep it local, keep it cheap and cheerful.
Yeah.
Now it's a massive hit. They should definitely go further afield.
I agree.
Like here, to my house.
Yeah, I agree.
Specifically.
Very particular. Right. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Deal of the day for you. It's Night of the Living Deals over at IGN.com. Their entire top stories are about this thing they're doing where they have a bunch of deals up for video games and movies and all sorts of stuff. So go check that out. Too many to list, and I'm not going to. I refuse
IGN. Night of the Living Deals?
Yeah, you like that? Like dead.
I'm just curious because it's not on my piece of paper.
Oh, I wrote it in because Tim gave it to me very last minute. Like,
oh,
hey,
it was
this
like late breaking news.
Exactly.
Okay.
Time for reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Hims. Loot Crate, and MeUndies. Hims, did you know that 66% of men lose their hair by age 35? And the thing is, once you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep what you have than to replace what you've lost.
Fucking
that,
A.
Exactly.
I can attest to that.
4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. How do I know about 4hims.com? On the other side of that wall, Andy Cortez and Nick Scarpino are using it. They took photos of their receding hairlines and problems with their hair. Sent it to 4hims.com. We talked to a doctor. Doctor recommended these things. They shipped them these prescriptions at generic equivalent prices, and everybody's happy, except for Andy, who gets really mad when Nick eats his 4hims gummies. Because they got gummies now for hair loss.
Gummies?
Yeah, and Nick just goes in and eats them off his desk.
What would happen if you ate too many of them? Would you turn into like a wolf man or something?
I don't have the side effects. I think you should use them as doctors recommend. No waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. Order now, my listeners. Get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily, 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Then MeUndies, they're sponsoring us as well. You've heard us obsess over MeUndies and all the amazing colors and prints they offer, but guys, did you know that MeUndies also makes the world's most comfortable lounge pants and tees? With fall finally here, now's the perfect time to put these cozy essentials to the test. You know I only wear MeUndies. I'm wearing them right now. After I fell in love with my first batch, I threw away the rest of my underwear and bought more. That's true. And now that I found out that they have pants made of the MeUndies soft.
Hey, lounge pants could be perfect for me.
I know.
Because you know how I like to dress comfortably.
I do. You should do this deal and get in there. The lounge pants are made from the same micromodal fabric as the undies. And let me tell you, you'll be in fall heaven when you cover your entire bottom half with fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton.
This is the first time that I've ever done this, because you advertise a lot of things on the show.
Sure.
I was very, very tempted with the Omaha Steaks at one point, but I never quite got there. I'm going to do this. So I'm going to get some lounge pants.
Get your phone out right now and do it then.
I'm not
going
to do it. I'll do it after the show.
MeUndies also loves celebrating the fall season, and with fun, you can get Halloween prints right now. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. It's a no-brainer. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you ever put on. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. And finally, Loot Crate. As you all know, we love Loot Crate. We just got the most recent one. It had a Foxhound cup in there from Metal Gear. Plus, I have a bunch of Funko Pops, and Kevin has a bunch of Rick and Morty stuff. This month's theme for Loot Crate is Nightmare. Fight back against malevolent forces and gear up with Soul Calibur 2, Silent Hill, Psychonauts, and Cuphead. All sorts of stuff from them. What is Loot Gaming? It's a monthly subscription box delivered directly to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates, designs, everything themselves. You can't find these items anywhere else. So if you love games and cool stuff, this is perfect. Loot Crate packs are $60 of value for less than $29 a month. This crate's going to sell out. You must order this week to guarantee yours. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company, Geek Out in Style with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games. Enter the code GAMES. Get 30% off your subscription.
All right,
Gary. You ready?
What's up?
Now, have you been following all this? I know that you like to live under a rock when it comes to video games a lot. The whole hullabaloo.
I know what's going on. I'm not a baby.
Okay. You did present that in a very funny way. All right, so you're aware of all the drama.
Can I just say, the only reason, there are many reasons I enjoy coming on the show, but I would say the number one reason that I enjoy coming on the show now is cracking up.
It's like stand-up. Kevin. It's just stand-up.
I need is one person to laugh, and that's enough.
The way he said it, though, baby. So good.
All right, baby, strap in. John writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, are folks in the video game industry a little out of touch? Recently, there's been a lot of talk about developers unionizing and fighting against crunch in managers and investor expectations when it comes to the hours that are worked. While it is true, the hours are long and office ergonomics are extremely important, it seems too little to unionize over. I'm a scientist working in a factory producing diagnostic tests. My colleagues and I work with many infectious diseases and need to put in double time for a week at least once a month to meet customer needs. While there are federal laws and regulations, OSHA, etc., that provide the safest possible work environment, we are not unionized. I have a tough time listening I have a tough time listening and relating to people who spend lots of time in fairly safe work environments while they complain about the amount of work that is demanded of them. I love video games, movies, and all entertainment, and have the utmost respect for the artists and technicians that make them possible. But it does not seem that any entertainment piece is worth anyone putting that much extra time and effort into. While manual laborers, factory workers, and emergency service providers work overtime constantly, why are programmers, developers, and other office workers in entertainment complaining? Mr. Widow.
Yes.
You work on both sides of this one in terms of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You're in the union,
right?
I'm in
the union,
you're SAG.
Yes. I'm in the Writers Guild.
Oh, Writers Guild. Sorry, my apologies. Yeah, that makes sense. And then, obviously, video games. You see this firsthand in terms of crunch and everything else. What's your takeaway from John's? Right in here. Is the video game industry out of touch?
Well, I would suggest that he's looking at this entirely in the wrong way. Rather than saying, why should these people be unionized? I'm not unionized. He should be saying, well, why aren't I unionized? He should be unionized as well. If he's working long hours and doing dangerous work and a lot's being demanded of him, why shouldn't he be protected by a union? You have to remember, I come from the UK, okay, where there's a big union culture. And unions are a big part of the workforce. I know that there's been, and historically it's been a big part of the American kind of work culture as well.
Definitely. Construction, like my dad's a union crane operator.
There are moves afoot in America and around the world to make unions go away. Because they don't. Obviously, unions make life more difficult for the people at the top.
When I worked at Walmart in the late 90s, I remember that was a huge thing that they were terrified of, is unions. And if somebody came in to talk to you about a union, you were to report it to your manager, and they'd be thrown out by security, kind of thing.
The whole reason why unions exist is because no one looks out for the little guy. Because the big, powerful robber barons at the top can do what they want. They can abuse workers. They can garnish their wages. They can do all kinds of terrible things to them. They could abuse them, force them to do all kinds of horrible things. And what are you going to do? Well, get the sack. If you don't want to do it, just leave. Go find a job somewhere else. Only by collectively coming together and finding the strength in numbers,
correct,
that unions give you, do you have any kind of ability
one
to protect
person
yourself?
It's hard for one factory worker, one video game developer, one whoever to complain, be the squeaky wheel, and actually make change. In reality, what it'll be for a lot of, and not everybody, but Insidious and whatever, they get rid of that person, right? It's a fire at will state or whatever, you're gone. Whereas if it's a union, and it is this collective bargaining agreement, we've all come together.
I mean,
to say
it's
this
very,
is not
you know,
good.
Some in every situation, someone has to be the Norma Rae, right? And it's
sure.
very and it's
Sally
very
Field, if you didn't know.
Well, she played Norma Rae in a movie.
I thought it was fiction. No, I'm kidding.
Someone has to be the Norma Rae. Someone has to stand up and say, enough is enough. We should get together and organize.
Yeah.
And I do believe that the video game industry should be organized. And, you know, I wasn't here when you covered when the story dropped the other day, the Dan Houser thing.
Yeah, the Rockstar.
But I'm sure whoever was here said something along the lines of which I'm going to say, which was that was an extraordinarily tone-deaf 100%. Thing, to, not only to say, but to adhere to. And to say, oh, well, you know, we're working 100, you know, this game's going to be good because we're working 100 hours a week on it. And the same thing happened with Telltale.
Yep.
People often prioritize the product over the people. Oh, well, Telltale has gone bust. Oh, no, what about my game? Fuck your game. What about the 250 people that just lost their livelihoods and no longer have any health insurance? So those are the people that I care about. And I got to say, as much as I feel like a bit of a hypocrite, to be honest, because I'm going on this rant, I'm still going to buy Red Dead. I'm still going to play it because I'm weak and I have to have that game. I just have to have that game. The idea of not playing Red Dead is unfathomable to me.
Sure.
But at the same time, as much as I'm excited for this game, this whole story about the crunch and the terrible working conditions has really kind of left a bad taste in my mouth about it. I think I might actually enjoy the game a little bit less because of this. And so I guess the best I can do right now, I'm not going to boycott the game. I wish I had the strength to do that. The best I can do is come on this show and kind of bellyache about it. I do think it's disgraceful. I mean, do you agree with any of this? What do you think?
Well, you presented multiple options. And this is where I was telling you we'd have a good discussion for you, right? So to John's point, I'll start there, right? He talks about, like, you know, they're not unionized. What's the deal? I hear you, John. I understand what you're saying. I understand that you work a very real job with very real consequences in this. I do feel your argument is flawed. of nothing gets done, nothing changes anywhere, nobody can have good conditions because of anything then. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's never, you're going to sit, there's always a worse situation than the situation you or somebody has in an industry, I feel like.
The solution is not to say, well, you shouldn't have that because I don't. The
exactly.
solution is to say, well, we should both have it.
And I think John actually puts an interesting point here, right, when he's talking about how much he loves games and respects everybody. It does not seem that any entertainment piece is worth anyone putting that much extra time and effort into. And that, John, is where you hit the nail on the head for what you're kind of arguing against, right? It does not seem that any entertainment piece is worth anyone putting that much extra time and effort into. Right. And if these guys and gals aren't unionizing, if there isn't a collective, hey, we can't do this anymore, that doesn't change. What you're saying is, I think you're saying the rational thing, John, that yes. There was a Reddit thread, a kind of funny subreddit thread that was talking about how we weren't vocal enough about this. And it comes up when we talk about it. But even then, I guess people were saying we don't take enough of a stance, which I don't, by the way, those sirens are on our end. I don't necessarily agree with, but to be clear, I agree with John in this sentence. It does not seem that any entertainment piece is worth anyone putting that much extra time and effort into. I don't want to see
he's right. And the solution is to unionize.
Yeah, I don't want to see my developers not get to see their children grow up, sleep at their desks, work 100-hour weeks, do all these crazy fucking things for extended, horrible, crazy periods of time. I don't care. The game can be later. I can wait longer. And I feel like we're seeing a pivot in the industry to where the audience is starting to say that. But how do you communicate that message? Which then jumps back to what you're saying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what gets interesting when we brought up the Red Dead thing was we already had the, not retraction, but clarification statement then from Dan Houser that he gave to IGN and eventually gave to Kotaku.
Yeah.
Which was like, I'm not saying everyone worked 100 hours every week. I'm saying me and the other three writers worked it for, 3 weeks, not 300 days or something to that effect. And we had a great discussion that on that show of, okay, that makes sense, but is that real? And it's the same thing of if I'm working, when I want to work this week, we're not going to take as many weeks off this year maybe for Christmas, right? And we're saying Kevin stay home, but Kevin wants to be here, of course, because the bosses are here. And you assume at Rockstar, yes, it would be the same way, right? That. And then, of course, a friend of the show, Job Stauffer, formerly of Telltale, mm-hmm. formerly of Rockstar. He tweeted out and I saw on gamesindustry.biz got quoted and put into an article, right, of... He was talking about, like, when he worked there, like, and this is years ago for Rockstar, years ago for Telltale, more recent for Telltale. But for Rockstar, it was like, no, we were all expected to be there Saturday and Sunday, and you wanted to be, and, like, Hauser's wanted to see everybody working the same thing. What is that like now? We don't know. Last thing we heard was the whole Rockstar Wives thing from the last Red Dead, right? Or was it GTA 5? I think it was last Red Dead. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If I'm wrong, don't just write in saying you're right. But where are we at now? And that's the big thing. And I know Jason Schreier put out a tweet, right? He's like, I've been working on this for a while. I'm working on getting an article of what it's like to work at Rockstar right now. And that is interesting. But then it snaps back to, okay, it's probably not great. It probably is a crunch situation. But what do we as the consumer do in that situation, right? And I feel you're pulled in so many ways. And I've talked about this before where, you know, Walt Williams wrote in his book about how much he liked crunch and thought good things came out of crunch. Crunch obviously has been a thing for years, and I've been on dev tours back in the day, like early IGN, where it was like, yeah, and like for MLB The Show, we'd put mattresses back here during crunch time and do this stuff. And so there's this weird thing of, I don't know how you fight it from a consumer angle. The best I can say is, yes, I want my developers and people who are making my games to be taken care of ethically, and I don't mind waiting. And we all need to say that more and drive that fact. But I don't know if boycotting Red Dead is what, like, would that, number one, have an effect? Number two, would that message get to them? Number three, is that what the people who were crunching would want? I'm talking about the people who were crunching who didn't agree with it, didn't like it, right? Like, I always talk about it, and this is not apples to apples at all, but at E3, when it was IGN and we were writing things at 3 a.m. and still being in the war room and not leaving the war room to the last possible second, like, personally, I liked that. I knew what I was getting into. I was getting into the trenches. Here we go. But that was a contained week, not a 3-month period of crunching and doing all the, it's a complicated thing that I feel the best solution is right now, solving it from the developer side. And if that is unionization, if that is companies being very clear that we're not going to do crunches, we're not going to make our... I don't know It's too complex a situation for me, Greg Miller, industry pundit, and a consumer side industry pundit, right, talking about what I like and don't like when I play a video game, to say from a business side of it, here's how it should be fixed and what it should be.
I think that this is another one of those situations, like loot boxes, where you can't rely on companies to self-regulate. They're just not going to do it. Like every now and again, there's a company that makes a statement about, well, we don't do crunch here. You know, we treat our employees decently. Great. Good for you. I love that. More companies should be like you. The sad thing is that's never going to be the norm. This, remember EA? It goes back long before Rockstar Wives. Remember EA Wives? They went, this has been going on forever. Crunch has been going on forever.
And, well, I mean, that's the thing. Again, in the... Oh, Patrick Klepek over at Waypoint put up a great piece in to this that was like... Like admitting that the media side of the industry needs to do more about this. And what he was saying was that this all stems from, it was a Variety article, right? Anybody? The Rockstar article? No, it wasn't Variety. Kevin, bring up the Waypoint article from Patrick Klepek about all this. I don't want to, you're wrong on this. But it was Vulture. Don't need it. It was Vulture. Vulture did the interview with Dan Houser, the 6-hour interview about this. And Klepek's problem with it, of course, in his great piece, I think, on Waypoint, or a great look at all this, is the fact that the Houser brothers really don't do interviews. It's very rare to see them very get interviewed. Rare. So for them to get, for Vulture to get through the door to have this interview, great, there's more pressure on you to be a great reporter, right? And Klepek's problem is that this, we worked a 100-hour work week, kind of, we crunched for 100 hours a week on this thing.
Yeah, and that was almost presented in the way that it was being celebrated.
And it gets dropped, and there's no follow-up to what that means. Why are you doing it that way? There was no questioning of that. And if there was in the room, it didn't get put into the article. So it becomes not a puff piece, but that's how it comes off of like, wait, you know, we know crunch is a problem. We know 100-hour work weeks are a problem. Let's talk more about that. Let's do that. And Klepek's point was that, similar to what the person on Reddit said, but in a different vein, because that's not what we do, is kind of funny, but whatever, that we need to hold developers, or I guess publishers and companies, more accountable for this. And if you get that chance and you ask them about that, to continue to ask them and try to get the right thing and stress that that's not what the people want that are paying attention to how their games are
made.
And the thing
about it is, it's all pointless. Why crunch? Why? So you can hit a certain date. Okay, why do you need to hit that certain date? Well, because investors and shareholders want the game to come out within a certain fiscal quarter, financial year, whatever, so that so it looks good on their balance sheet. Is that really worth it? Is that really worth the physical, emotional, psychological relationship toll that this takes on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people? I don't think so. Why not just say, you know what, rather than working 100-hour weeks, we're going to work, you know, regular 40, 50, 60-hour weeks. Even that's long, you know, 60-hour week. And the game's just going to come out in March of 2019 instead of October of this year.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be better? I mean, wouldn't you be happy to wait another 6 months for the game to come out? These games, Rockstar release, you know, it's geological time, the measurement over which Rockstar releases games. It's years and years and years. I would happily wait 6 more months for this game to come out and be able to play it, knowing that I am not playing what is essentially the product of slave labor. I mean that.
Sure,
that obviously is a very hyperbolic way of putting 100%, it.
And that's my problem right now. Not even my problem, but we keep bringing up Red Dead too, and it is this question of, until Schreier or whatever, somebody talks more. What is the situation over there? Is it this bad? Is it as bad as it was before? Where are we at with that? And because it does come down to, you know, I know I'm kind of funny, such small potatoes, but just stick with me. For Dan Houser being like, no, for 3 weeks, me and these three other writers crunched on the game for 100 hours a week, right? That sounds crazy and oh my God, blah, blah, right? But like, when Kinda Funny Live comes around, Tim's up every night till, you know, what, Kevin's 5 in the morning, 5 a.m. editing the packages, then waking up and coming back in here. Apples to oranges, I know, but stick with me of, it is that thing of, at some point, there is a deadline, and how do you meet it, and how do you reach it? And I do think what we're talking about of, like, delaying the game, and this, that, and the other, it sounds to me like this wasn't even that, where it's just like, we need the script locked by this date, which means that, holy shit, we need to do it because it needs to be perfect, and we need to, there's project management, and there's all these different things, but with any creative endeavor, things take longer than they think they're going to be. Their fucking Ghostbusters World shoot should have taken an hour. It took 5 yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not over there, and I'm not on that side of development, and I understand that things change and shift, and I don't... It's such a complex, weird issue. I just want people taken care of. I just want the people who are making the things I love.
And it all comes down
to
the idea of dates are arbitrary. There are certain things that need to come out on certain dates because they line up with other things, and I get that. But once you announce a date, again, if... imagine how different this story would have been if the story had been this. Dan Houser or whoever comes out and says, as we were approaching the release of the game, it became apparent to us that the only way to hit the October 26th date that we had previously announced was if we put our employees through hell. We weren't willing to do that, and so we're going to work regular hours and we're going to release the game in March or April of next year instead. They would have been applauded to the rafters for making that statement. And again, who really cares? I can. There's other games to play. I've got Assassin's Creed. I've got all kinds of things to do right now. I can wait. I'll wait. It's okay. I'll wait. What? But apparently, no. It has to come out October 26th. That apparently is more important than the physical and mental well-being of hundreds of people.
Maybe.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
I hear you. I agree. I just want to protect people.
I really want to play Red Dead.
You really want... Kevin
is like, no, I'm not waiting.
Fuck it. Cracking the whip.
Crack those whips.
Kevin's walking around.
Crack him.
I just... Yeah, it's such a complex issue that I mean...
Is it really that complex?
At the base of... I mean, no. At the base of it, I want people to be taken care of and I want everybody to be okay, right?
Right.
But then it just gets into this weird... As it gets bigger and bigger and bigger of... First, we keep talking with the Red Dead thing as if it is... We have it on the record. Everybody hates it. It was terrible. And like, I don't know what really happened there. I know what Houser said in the interview and then what he said in his follow-up. And we haven't had the Rockstar leak yet and have all these other people come out, right?
Coming, though.
Yeah, according to Schreier, right? But I want to wait for that. I want to wait for that and see what people on the inside are saying about it and what they felt like it was.
It's not going to change. People have known that working inside Rockstar is not a Willy Wonka chocolate factory for years. We've known this.
Here's my question then on top of that. Is there... we just talked about Assassin's Creed, right? Like, was the Quebec City Ubisoft that made this thing? Were they like fucking hunky dory the entire time, or did they crunch too? And was it as bad as this? And was it? What do people think about that? And where does crunch come down anymore? Everybody has a different opinion. People don't want to fucking crunch and everything else, but it all comes together at the last second. That's what you always hear about these games too.
I don't think it's that complex. I'd rather push the date than put employees through hell.
I agree with that, but I hear you. I'm not arguing that. I am 100% in that camp. I just then it does come down to how do you do that and how do you not? How does that do it and not? And I only know when we start talking about fucking shareholders and companies and all this shit. Like I don't know what your I have no idea what that relationship is because I didn't go to business school and I only watched the HBO show Succession, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you move a date and who at the end is responsible? Is it the CEO that's responsible for the stock price and whatever else? And I know that, you've already said all that.
You're answerable to shareholders at some point. If the problem why the date didn't get pushed is that someone has to go to, is it Take Two?
Yeah, Take Two Interactive.
The house would have to go to Take Two and say, look, we can't do it without going into hell crunch. So we're just not going to do it. And then the Take-Two guy's got to go to his boss, and then his boss has to go to the shareholders and say, sorry, remember we told you that your 2018 financials were going to look tremendous because we have this amazing game coming out. Not so much anymore because we got pushed until next month. That wipes millions of dollars of value off their balance sheet and shareholders lose money. The shareholders cannot lose money. The super rich captains of industry at the very top, they cannot possibly suffer. No. The people at the bottom have to suffer.
And here's my thing to that argument, and this is why it's so funny to argue about this with Rockstar, right? Of like, if that was the thing, if I went to the shareholders and I was like, hey guys, we need to delay the game, and they threw a fit, I'd be like, shut the fuck up. Are you kidding me? You see how much money GTA Online is making? You know how much people are looking forward to Red Dead? We can delay this 10 years and you'll be fucking fine.
Yeah, you're going to be ever so slightly less rich.
For now.
For like 5 minutes. But could you possibly stomach that?
How it works.
How it works.
If your money is not growing here, why have it at this company? You know what I mean?
This is the problem, and this is why it's complicated. It's because it is art mashing up with businesses.
The system is
always
rotten to the core. That's the whole system is fucked.
People have goals set, and deadlines have to be made to make that happen. Aside from the business side of it, we'd get upset. If Red Dead got delayed right now, even if they were like, "Oh man, we just don't want to have crunch." People would get upset, really, really upset.
People get upset about anything.
Yeah. And the value of 2K would go down, and then that would affect what their next project is, right? Isn't that how it works? People
That is how it works. I'm just saying that how it works is fucked. That's all.
You're not
unions.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You remember about 4 years ago in the early part of this show when I said how great it was to have a nice positive show, and we ended up here in another big rant.
Well, I mean, it's what's going to happen.
I feel like if
the industry is wrestling with something very serious right now of how do you be a profitable business, how it's to take care of your employees, to have more employees, but also take care of them to not stress them out. And what you're talking about, the system being broken, you were talking about like how a business structure in general is fucked, right? Of taking care of your CEO and everything else.
Right.
It's also fucked in the way that our industry, and I'm talking about the development side of video games, has been crunch and do this forever, and that's how it is. That's how it's done. Adam Boys tweeted out, and that got put in the Klepek article, that you know his first job, however many years ago, they had a wall where they bragged and like kept like a scoreboard of who had the most hours in a week. And I think it was, I'm quoting probably wrong, Adam had 113 hours in a week, and he was number three. He wasn't even number one.
But the only time the world has ever gotten better, Greg, is when someone has not accepted, well, that's just the way it is, for an answer.
And here's my thing. And we are at that moment now. We are at this pivotal moment right now where it's happening, where people are fucking mad about Telltale and Visceral, and they're mad when they even get a whiff of this might be what's happened. And as much as Rockstar is trying to, no, that's not what really happened, people are like, no. Like yesterday, when that article came out, there was so much blowback of like, whoa, this isn't something to celebrate. This isn't it. And I think we're at a turning point, or at least an actionable moment where, we can all sit there and be like, whoa, this isn't cool. Don't do it this. Why would you do this? Blah, blah, blah. And try to figure out a better way. It's just that it's been this way for so long. Both just straight up, hey, this is business, slash straight up, hey, this is how video games get made. When you come in and be a developer, you were already crunching on fucking Dora the Explorer PS2.
I mean, I work in Hollywood where it's ridiculous, where the first major decision that gets made on a movie is the date that it's coming out. And then you work backwards from that.
Sure.
And that's why oftentimes movies are rushed into completion, because the date was set. The date can't move. You know, it's because, you know, the dates in Hollywood do mean something. You know, you want to be out for the holiday period or the summer period. And obviously everyone's competing over what movie's going to open on what. We can't open on that date because Star Wars is coming out that date and will get destroyed or whatever. I understand that. It's still really annoying to me, though. Why not just set the date once you're deep enough into the project to have a reasonable expectation that you can hit that date without putting people through hell?
I feel that is what happens. I feel like Rockstar's delayed Red Dead before. I feel like it is that you set that date being like, we're going to be able to hit that, but then that becomes the deadline, and then you get to that thing of like, fuck, we have more work to do before the deadline. We need to push for it.
Right.
And that's that's literally what crunch is, right? That crunch of like, fuck, we're behind on this milestone. We need to hit this. We need to ensure that we have everything dialogue complete, ready to go, so the voice actors we've booked on this day can get all the dialogue in, so we can move on to the next thing.
And I would suggest to you that the only time that dates actually get pushed is that even when you go to maximum hell crunch, it's still not enough.
Yeah, oh yeah,
people
totally
aren't pushing dates because they don't want the employees to suffer. They're pushing the dates because even with the employees suffering, they can't hit the date.
Sure.
That's the only reason.
That seems
reason.
To be the case, yeah. It's fucked, Gary.
I don't like it.
I don't either.
But we're still going to play Red Dead.
Right.
So, are we hypocrites?
No. No? I don't think that's the answer. Tim crunches forever on Kinda Funny Live, right? And I know apples and oranges, blah, blah, blah. But like, I don't want that to be that people go, man, Tim shouldn't have to work that long. You guys should have been better at project management. No, I'm not going to watch Kinda Funny Live. Like, you know, I feel like it is a blood, sweat, and pixels, blood, sweat, and tears going into these games, right? So that when it comes out, people do go, holy shit, the testicles on this horse changed based on the temperature.
Yeah, look at that dynamic poop.
People want to if I was fucking working on the tech for fucking horse testicles and I'm crunching on it for 100 hours a week, you're goddamn right I want you to play that game when it comes out.
You actually raised that point earlier, and I thought it was a good point. It's like, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to support you. I'm not going to play your game. It's like, dude, I fucking killed myself making this game. I would really like you to play it. Otherwise, right? I don't want to let my work went to waste.
The fucking problem of this is, again, I don't know. And I'm not. This is a discussion, not a you're wrong, even I'm sure your wrongs are on fire right now. I want you to go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and give me your honest interpretation of what the right move is from a consumer side of it. I do think that it is the industry on the development side needs to change. And I feel like they are the only ones who can do that, because they are the only ones who really know what it's like and what it feels like to be like, I fucking haven't seen my wife in a week, my husband in a week, my partner, I haven't seen my kid. Like, does that mean that you then go, fuck, yeah, I want you to send a message to them by not buying the game? Or to buy the game, but also really fucking sound the ring the klaxon here and be like, hey, what? Or the ring the bell, sound the klaxon. Of like, hey, this isn't right, and we don't want it this way. We don't need it this way.
A boycott certainly wouldn't work, especially with something as Leviathan as Red Dead. You could organize the biggest possible consumer boycott that you could, the most effective consumer boycott you could possibly organize. It would not put a dent in Red Dead.
Well, that's why I think it was so heartening to see the response to the Vulture piece. The reaction on that day, yeah, and since then has been like, whoa, fuck this.
The correction was like instant.
Yeah.
The second that piece dropped, it was one of those things where, you know how sometimes when you catch up on Twitter and you see the reaction before you see, because people are pissed about something. And it's because of this piece.
Yeah.
My Twitter was on fire all that day. Not just Klepek and Schreier and these guys, but like a lot of people that are devs and people that have worked in other industries where they work crunch, and they say, yeah, it's toxic. It's dangerous. Like I had to start taking meds and blah, 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 whatever, because
dangerous. I don't know. Don't fucking put your personal well-being and take meds and do that. Like, no, I will wait for whatever game it is.
Some people choose, and you have to remember, a lot of people are not doing it because there's like a galley master, you know, behind them with a whip, cracking the whip. It's because they choose to do it. Like, they're so committed to the project and they don't want to let the side down. They're there by choice. Not merely because they're afraid of getting fired if they leave at 6 o'clock, but they're not helping. You know, again, they may or may not be aware of the damage they're doing to themselves by being that committed to the work.
And that's the thing, is that is what we were talking about with, all right, let's say benefit of the doubt, right? Because again, we have the two Hauser statements, right? Let's say the second Hauser statement is the truth. It was the four of them working 100-hour work week, you know. Great.
Oh, that was the clarification that was
right.
made?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was just him and Laszlo and then the other two writers on it, right? Let's say that's the case. You're still in charge of Rockstar, right? Like, there's a camaraderie there, and then also a thing of like, man, if he's working that hard, I should work that hard too, right? And like, there's that guilt of you are all in this together, and you are all in the same trench, and you see someone stay late, you want to stay late to do your thing and like be there and like be that support system. And I don't know, man, it's a complicated thing.
Yeah, you set an example when you're at the top.
Of course, there's a lot of developers that crunch isn't a thing for. Mihul wrote in with a question that we're not going to get to. He says, do we need to celebrate devs that treat their staff well? The answer, of course, is yet. He says, do you think it would in any way help if games media and fans celebrated when companies do the right thing? For example, here in the UK, Media Molecule often boasts that they don't crunch at all because it's 290s. Of course, their games don't come out. I'm kidding.
It's true though.
Where you put dreams at. And GamesIndustry.biz recently hosted awards for best employers in the industry, where winners included Rocksteady for health and well-being, and Creative Assembly, best large company. I barely heard any of this mentioned in games media.
I like that too, the incentive approach.
If we made a bigger deal of these things, would it make employees and employers alike give these areas more attention? Instead, I feel like some of these companies get stick for taking... Oh, get shit, I think he means. For taking so long to release their games, like I just did. When in reality, maybe that's just how long these things should take. Yes, again, that's a great... You're first off right that, yeah, we didn't mention this on here. It slipped through the cracks for me, obviously, in terms of that. But then again, well, no, we talk about awards on here. That's just me fucking up. Again, this is a great way to... Remember, if you don't see your story on here, a lot of you go to You're Wrong, not the best place, kindoffunny.com/KFGD for us to do it. But yeah, I mean, and I did immediately give Media Molecule shit. I am, of course, friends with a lot of people there. I am just giving them shit. But that's the worst that's going to happen. You can either have this thing where it's like this rubber band, like, fuck, do we boycott? What do we do? Blah, blah. Or you get a joke every so often that your game takes too long. Both of which would go away if things change and go a different way. Yes, we do need to celebrate people who do it right. It's what you're talking about. Like, it's nice to have good news. We should probably, but it's, of course, that a lot of times news is trying to call attention to things that need to change. I digress.
Yeah, I would like to see awards for, like, most positive working environment or whatever, you know?
I hope we'd win.
And that is something that you can then put on your company resume as a badge that helps you recruit those people.
100%.
You know, top talent has a choice of going wherever they want. They want to go to places where they get treated like shit. You want to go to places because they have a badge on the wall saying, look, for 3 years in a row now, we are the company that will torture you the least.
Oh, thank you. Great. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you, and everybody has good times. Today, Saucy Biscuit. That's right, the same Saucy Biscuit.
Do you think there's anything related to Soggy Biscuit there?
No.
It's not.
What's soggy biscuit? I mean, it's just a soggy biscuit.
You don't want to ask me what soggy biscuit is.
Oh no.
I think they call it something different here.
All right, let's move on.
You stand around in a circle.
Stop!
Ah, where you come on the cookie or the chip.
Yeah,
or whatever,
I think
right?
it's called something cookie.
What do they call it here?
Well, it's called something different here.
I forget the name.
Maybe called like creamy.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Creamy cookie or something.
That's very bad. Saucy just needs help on Twitter. He or she says, "I follow a lot of game personalities and devs on Twitter, but I wanted to follow some best friends as well. If you want to be followed on Twitter, hit up Johnny Boy." JohnnyBoi 2090. Have some Twitter friends, fun times. As you know, Shuhei Yoshida no longer hates you and is going to let you change your PSN username soon. As we sunset bad PSN names, we're having you write in with your bad PSN names so we can say goodbye here. Brendan writes in. Brendan says on kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just have a bad PSN name. I made this when I was playing Overwatch just when the character Doomfist came out.
I just read ahead.
When the character Doomfist came out, I was a D.Va main and thought I would mash up the two and came up with Doomfisting D.Va. I want to use this account for other online games, but I'm worried about the backlash. Praise the Lord for letting us change our names, Brendan, a.k.a. Doomfisting D.Va.
Yeah, that's rough.
Don't make dumb choices on the PSN. I guess soon you can. Soon you're allowed to make any dumb choice you want on the PSN, but right now you cannot. Gary, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to write in to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Ron writes in and says Sean Bean was actually in the Elder Scrolls 4.
Oh, and okay. So not his first video
and
game.
The narrator of Civilization 6.
Ah.
A lot of people trying to do that.
All right. You learn something new every day.
Kebab says Mario Party 10 on Wii U did not feature DLC. Chitar02 says Butt Champs' name is Layton. That is correct. People just telling me they liked World Snooker Championship on Wii. Great. All right. Okay, MB Crunch says Valkyria Chronicles 1 released on Switch yesterday. It was not mentioned in Out Today. Come on, Andrea.
Not a lot. I like it when people add information, but I don't like it when we get contradicted or told that we were wrong about something.
Well, that's what it's meant
to be. So far, we haven't really been wrong. Apart from maybe
now, people are just writing in and trying to correct. They're not correct even. They're just trying to have a conversation with the John letter. That's better for kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Yeah, people want to argue some of the points you're making. Yeah. Lord of Phones says Adam Boys had a 118 hours in a week, which was third. Another account was from John Drake, who hit 132. It's too much.
Jesus. Wait, what are we talking about here?
Hours worked.
Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised. John Drake is a machine. I'm not surprised. 132. Are there even 132 hours in a week?
If you try hard enough. Kebab says, I know Greg walked it back as a joke, but his example of Media Molecule I think is pertinent. They don't crunch, and so their games take longer to make.
How many hours in a week?
168.
They get laughed at for it, for not making games a half decade. Again, I was just poking fun, but yes, that's what we're talking about. Oh, God. Zyger says it's a Limp Bizkit, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Limp. It's called Limp Bizkit?
Yeah.
So that's what the band is named after?
I guess.
Oh, like Pearl Jam.
Is Pearl Jam a sex thing, too?
Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Well, think about it.
It's just Pearl's jamming, man.
Well, imagine a jammy-like substance.
All right. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for Widow Wednesday, October 17th, 2018. Tomorrow's host is going to be Jared. If you like the show, be part of it. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little bit longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Watch us record it live on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames, or listen on podcast services around the globe. Gary, I'm going to miss you next week.
I will miss you. I wish I were going to be here, but I'm not going to be out of town. Okay. I'll be in LA all week. Okay. But I'll be
you
back.
Making a movie? You doing some writing?
Working on some stuff.
A little story consulting again?
And I'll be back.
You bilking some people out of their money as usual?
I will be back the following week.
Yeah.
And I'll have a book to show you.
Cool. So, but we're building hype. It gets announced next week, this book.
Gets announced next week. So we'll while, be talking I'm, about while I'm away, shows. We'll yeah. see if Morning Show or whatever wants to do a little piece on it.
You know Nick. He likes to party.
We'll
you know,
see. Yeah. And then I'll be back the following week. So yeah, no Widow Wednesday next week. You'll have to fill in for me. Someone will have to fill in.
Okay. Well, until then.
I'll miss it.
We'll miss you.
I'll be missed.
You will be missed for sure. People love you. You know what I mean? You're like Batgirl on the Adam West Batman.
Kevin.
End the show.
Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.